Session 142, March 22nd, 1965. Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Seth.
Seth, if you will forgive me, you do not seem in the mood for much action this evening. There are some points that should be mentioned concerning the definition of the self, or a self, as I gave it to you during our last session. The definition, of course, stands. I merely would like to be sure that the correct interpretation is given to the definition. The self, or a self, is not any particular thing, as I told you. It is true that there are no boundaries to enclose it within safe confines, where it can be said, here is the self. It is also true, however, that this lack of boundary allows for possibilities of development and expansion that would be impossible with a limited self. The self is not nebulous. Action changes itself, as we have described. Any self, therefore, is never the same self, but action contains within itself its own comprehension. Because there is no time, as you think of time, we will not say that action retains a memory of all its previous actions or selves, for this would be misleading. Action is aware of itself in all of its spontaneous and simultaneous workings. The self that you are, in a basic sense, is the self that you were in past instances within this existence. The self or series of selves that you were in previous existences within the physical field, and also the myriad selves that you are now in various perception experiences unknown to the ego. Yourself is all this, as well as the selves that you would call future selves. I wanted to make it clear that the self at any moment, while being no one thing, being indeed a series of simultaneous happenings, so to speak, is, however, far from meaningless, containing within it full inner comprehension of its various portions. Once again, I make the point, a seeming paradox. The self constantly changes. The self at any given moment is not the self that it was, yet it is that which it was, since it is that which changed. It acts upon itself, being action. The inner self also changes, but it is also that which changes itself. We come now close to the definition, finally, for the entity, which cannot really be defined, because in your terms it escapes definition. However, the entity can be partially defined as the sum of all the selves within a given range of action, the simultaneous totality, which on the one hand, then, cannot yet exist, since action can never complete itself, yet representing that impetus forever frustrated on the part of action for complete materialization. The blueprint is action's intent. The selves are action in progress toward this blueprint. I suggest your break. Rob notes break at 9:27. Jane was well dissociated. She said she started feeling things again toward the end when Seth began to talk about the entity. It was something concerning what it was like to be an entity, yet so vague it couldn't be put into words, really. Jane resumed, slightly slower voice at 9:35. Seth, there are selves within selves. Each self is interwound with all others, and yet each self, being composed of action, has within it the powers of action toward change, development, expansion, and the drive toward fulfillment. Herein also lies the freedom of each self not being limited. We have spoken in the past of capsule comprehension. It is indeed a characteristic of action, indivisible from action, equally interwoven within it. Therefore, each portion of action is aware of its simultaneous experience within all levels. Again, action carries itself along. Each self is therefore aware of its previous gestalt affiliations. Now, identities may or may not have egos. An atom is an identity. Rob notes, Jane had been delivering this above paragraph with many pauses. I now began to sneeze. Without warning, Jane sat quietly waiting for me to stop. Her eyes remained closed. She rocked back and forth gently. My sneezing certainly constituted an interruption of sorts. Yet James' reaction to this was placid. Her trance state unbroken. Had someone pounded on the door abruptly and broken Jane's state, she would have been painfully aware of it. Many sessions have dealt with capsule comprehension, some of them being the 24th, 27th, 29th, 62nd, 64th, 62nd through 64th, the 87th, the 131st, particularly, as well as later ones. Seth, do you want a break? Rob, no, I'm all right. Seth, it is a self-materialized in physical form. It is conscious of being as belonging to action. The fact that it may be part of a larger gestalt self in no way belittles its own identity. It is conscious of the gestalts of which it is part. It is materialized action, a self, part of other selves, as you are part of other selves. The intensity here is different. You, any human being, represent a capability, an attraction, an electrical field of great intensity that is capable of efficiently acting as a unit within the physical field. You may also be part of a self operating within other fields and operating also within another system of units. The inner self operates as a relay station, as a reference point for the various seemingly disconnected selves. It is only through contact with the inner self that knowledge of the whole self can be found. The inner self could be called, then, the nucleus, the original point of action from which all the other emanations that form the whole self begin. There is here, you see, no limitation upon the direction in which action may move, nor any limit to the dimensions which action may create. The inner self would be, then, any given out-thrust of original action outward, as explained earlier. This out-thrust would, because of its nature, instantly send further out-thrusts in as many directions as possible for it. And because it is action, and because no action can complete itself, and no action can completely materialize, then each out-thrust or materialization would result in an in-thrust. Not into the original action from which it came, but into itself. This gives us the creation of new inner selves. And all this is of electrical composition. And you should recall the information given you concerning the manner in which electrical fields are formed. Rob says, note C, the 122nd through 127th session. Seth, again, this is no reason to feel that the individual is nothing, simply because he is one of so many. Action develops according to value fulfillment. And value fulfillment has little to do with size or numbers. The action turns to consciousness. Action working on itself becomes consciousness. And in speaking of consciousness, I do not necessarily mean what you mean by the word. Your concept of consciousness is fearful and limiting and depends for its existence upon ignorance and barriers. Barriers that divide parts of the self from others, from other parts of the self, and from other selves, and from experiences of the selves. Value fulfillment opens the many eyes of the self to its various portions. It enables the self to expand, to join in a gestalt with other selves. It is only your ego which leads you to believe that such an expansion would result in a lessening of consciousness on the one hand, or an invasion of other selves on the other. My dear friends, there is so much here to be said. There are freedoms available that mankind never uses, or very seldom uses. I suggest you break. Rob notes, I might add here that my arbitrary designation of an average pause on Jane's part might run to perhaps 10 seconds. A long or very long pause thus would run 20 to 30 seconds. These are not rare. As said before, while in the trance state, Jane is not aware of the pauses. As far as she is concerned, they might as well not exist, or conversely, they can be an hour long. Jane resumed at a faster pace and in a louder voice at 10:22. Seth, And yet, in another sense, all selves are one self, in that all selves are action. But action must attempt to materialize itself and fulfill itself completely. It cannot do so. And the result is the formation of many selves that are a part of action and formed from action. And therefore, each self must continue in the creation of other selves. Selves are not destroyed. They change into other selves, and yet are still themselves. For each new self is also the previous self, which changed through action upon itself. There will be no huge contraction of action back into self in those terms. There may very well be a conscious realization of each self that it is a part of the original action self. Lest we forget, action is another word for inner vitality. Selves are formed also by effective ranges of comprehension, which may be expanded. They cannot be contracted, for action cannot wipe out comprehension of itself. The electronically coded data of which we have spoken cannot be removed, for an action cannot withdraw a previous action. You understand that when I speak, I am not saying that continuity in terms of past and present exist. I am using these terms merely for your convenience. An action can never negate itself. There may be counteraction, but no action can be wiped out. The ego is indeed a necessity within the physical field at this point of man's development. The ego is in a state of becoming, however. The ego is not what it was centuries ago, and it will not be the same centuries from now. It, the ego, will not admit the change, but its refusal to admit change in no way stops change. Efficient manipulation within the physical field will soon require that other portions of the self be utilized and recognized. In a manner of speaking, the ego can be compared to the nationalistic state of nations, necessary indeed for man's development, but already growing passé, perhaps even mitigating against the survival of the species where once it aided that survival. The worldwide view of man as a species, worldwide brotherhood, in no way hampers or endangers the individual man, and in no way endangers nations, but will represent one of the main hopes of mankind, without which no nation would endure. In like manner, when the ego concept is discarded as a concept, as the concept of nationalism will be discarded, so the individual self will not lose but gain. The individual self will expand, as the individual man will be capable of expanding when the old idea of nationalism is finally overthrown. And he can be benefited through learning of and cooperation with other men as brothers upon your planet. But as it is not wise to dispense with the idea of nationalism without gradual growths of understanding and preparation, and while the idea of nationalism cannot suddenly be dispensed with, so also the ego cannot be and will not be overthrown overnight. And even when it is finally left behind, it will still be used as a handy reference point. And through all this, the self will not lose, but gain, for all expansion outward and expansion inward is a gain, and all boundaries, whether inward or outward, are hampering and limiting. Basically, the self is not limited. The self does not need imaginary fences to protect its privacy or its safety or its solitude. Only the ego is afraid of challenge and therefore speaks of such limiting safety. If the self were the ego, then indeed such precepts would be necessary. But the ego is a small part of the self. Necessary indeed, still, but less necessary than it once was. I suggest your break, or if you prefer, we will end our session. Rob. All right then, we'll end the session. Seth. We will close here this evening's session, since I believe you need your rest. However, I will have something to say Wednesday concerning Rupert's experience this evening. He is indeed doing very well. My fondest regards to you both. Rob. Good night, Seth. Rob notes, Jane said that as soon as she resumed her seat, she felt carried away. She entered the state more rapidly than she would like. Also, the end came so quickly that she found herself groping briefly in an effort to put herself together again. The experience made her uneasy. Jane said she believes Seth is using these experiences within the experience of the session itself as a compensation for the psychological time experiments he has requested her to abandon for a while. It will be remembered that in the 140th session, Seth stated that at times Jane would advance too fast, too soon, with her own experiments. She speculated that these recent experiments within experiences were Seth's ideas, re a more controlled approach.